Mr. Gaines?
Gracious Heavenly Father, thanks for coming together here today, Father. We ask you to make every decision we make according to your will and for better of this county which we live in. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Kicking you off. If it does, you're going to have to call in from there for my landline. What it's doing is.
Yeah. WC and Mr. Stevenson, which y'all know ain't going to be here. I think Mr. Stevenson had a funeral he had to attend to. And WC, I don't know if he's.
Business, okay.
Need approval of the Commissioner Minutes regular meeting of March 17th.
Motion.
We've got a motion. Mr. Mark and second Mr. Valentine. All in favor?
Aye.
Need approval of the vouchers.
Make a motion.
We've got a motion, Mr. Valentine.
Second
Mr. Hatch. All in favor?
Aye.
Mr. Chuck Clemens, House of Representatives. Glad to see you, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mission and the full house. I didn't know you loved them. Let them know that I was coming today, but I think y'all were. It is good to see citizens participating in their government. The government closest to the people is the best government, and the people keep the government honest. And your input and your say does make a difference in the end. I'm here today as your state representative and your friend. About 6 years ago, I came over to Dixie County. Although it wasn't foreign to me, I had a lot of friends and relatives here. I was running for office for the very first time. And I was asked a question in 2016. Are you going to be one of those politicians that only comes around during campaign season? Are we ever going to see you again after campaign season is over? And I said, no, that's not right. You're going to see me a lot. In 6 years, there's a big difference between people running for office and what they say they're going to do and people that have served in office and have done what they said they were going to do. And I'm here today standing in front of the citizens, in front of elected commissioners in Dixie County and say, I've been blessed not only to represent Dixie, but to do and say the things that I was going to do and that I did the things that I was going to do. Because your word is your most precious commodity.
Amen.
One of the first things that I'm really proud of is helping to finish the high school construction. As you guys know, that was a nightmare. Government was involved, and somehow it got sideways. And with Senator, the previous Senator Bradley, and myself, and other leaders, we were able to bring the money. And you know, my wife and I were driving by the high school, and it just warms my heart to see all the vehicles there and to see what a gem that is for our community here. Wasn't too long after I took office that we had a big hurricane, and you know the county was devastated. And I don't need to tell you guys about water and water and water, because you're all experts on it. But traveling around the county, seeing the devastation in 2017, the hurricane and the 40 inches of water that dropped on us. And I remember going to Miss Tammy's house with Tim, going. And she lost part of her roof. See, being elected office, it's not just about legislation, passing bills. I'm really happy that I passed more bills in the House than any other member of the 120-member body this year. But it's not just about passing bills. It's about people. And I remember seeing the devastation, and about 2 weeks later, I called Miss Tammy up. Told her who I was. Thank you for calling. I'm really surprised that you called. I mean, that's nice of you, but you know, I had no expectation you were going to call and follow up. Mr. Kenyak cares about you. I want to make sure that you're moving forward and continue to do it. Going to the football games, you know, and walking on the sideline with a couple of you and sitting in the stands and sitting down there in the end zone, you know, watching little Wyatt Higginbotham kick the best of the ball. And you make your friends before you need your friends. You know, I remember having a function in Horseshoe Beach, And, of course, little Wyatt's not little anymore, and he's trying to find his way in the world, but he was working at the place. And then, a couple years later, I go with the Speaker of the House, and we're shooting quail at the Yokers Club, and guess who our guy is? Little Wyatt Hickenlooper. Oh, Mr. John, it made me feel like a rock star, and I got the president of the Speaker of the House there. I mean, it's just really good. So it's about people. You make your friends before you need your friends. The visit to Tallahassee, the groups that came from Dixie to go to your house in Tallahassee, the FFA, the school board members when they come up, the commissioners when they come up, lobbying for something. Barbie, when she comes up with the clerk of the court. And last year she was involved in the association, and I've been pleased to run two bills for the clerk of the court successfully. The governor has signed them. The clerks of the court, they do more with less, and they've done it for so long that the state expects them to do everything for nothing. And they don't get to choose what they get to do. The legislature mandates what they have to do, and they don't have a lot of funds to do it. So it puts them in an impossible position sometimes. I'm happy to have supported you. The fly-in, my gosh, the airport is one of the best resources that Dixie County has, and I think that, the potential is still there for an expansion. There's good jobs in avionic repair, and my gosh, we need to help capture that. But having the fly-in and having the statewide, which in the southeastern United States, recognition for that is a wonderful economic development tool. It's not about passing bills, and that's important, but it's about constituent issues, helping people connect the dots. I know WC called me about a month ago. A couple other folks called me. Mark called me. They all have my telephone number, and they use it, and I answer the phone. Back to 6 years ago, no, I'm not that guy that says that he's going to do something and you don't follow up. I pick up the phone, and Mark says, there's a gentleman in the hospital. I won't spare you the details or his name. But the very next day, the head of the hospital went to visit him. The very next day, the head of the big hospital went in that man's room to make sure that he was taken care of the way all of us would want to be taken care of. Okay? So it's not just about passing bills. It's about being responsive and being able to connect the dots to solve and resolve people's problems. Cross City Veterans in the Park, my gosh, I brag about Cross City all the time. The flags on US 19 makes me quiver lips. We're standing on their shoulders. Be able to recognize that as a community. Man, I get quiver lips thinking about it. Lunches, I go out of the way to come to Dixie County to eat, whether it be at the, Cypress or the Dixie Diner is my favorite. Don't tell anybody. I'm biased, and I'm not afraid to say that. But a lot of good food. A lot of good food here. And I bring my wife. I bring my family. I bring my campaign workers. And we're really proud. So where's all this going? Well, to conclude, this is probably my last meeting that I'll come and address you as your state representative. Now, hopefully, if people return me to office in November the 8th, I'll maybe still be a state representative, but because of reapportionment, I'm losing Dixie and picking up Levy County because the population increases, and we have to have accountability for each one of those districts. But I can tell you, I may not be officially your state representative, but I'll always be your representative and your friend. And I know that small counties, like the one that I'm used to, we have to band together. You have one senator. You have one state representative. Miami-Dade has 16 state representatives and 8 senators. It takes a buck to bring the delegation up here. And Senator Bradley and I can ride on the same motorcycle as we wanted to. So it's not a fair fight. If you had about 5 more senators and 8 more state representatives for Dade County, then it'd be a fair fight. But Senator Bradley and I, when we put our mind to doing something, we help you. And that's what I'm getting into now. The flooding, and more flooding. You guys have withstood more natural disaster in the water than a person should have to do in their whole lives. And my heart goes out so we brought help. And I know that, you know, you probably had a lot of angry people here at different times, and they were, you know, but, you know, government wheels don't work fast sometimes, but as long as they work and bring the resources that you need, hopefully it will help sometime in the future. This year, according to the county-by-county allocation, Dixie County received of state tax money, $22.9 million. $22.9 million. That's more than in the recent history. Way more than in recent history. Some of the stuff is usual, reasonable. It would be repaving of the roads, but I'm going to just basically tell you the six things, five things that are extraordinary. One, Dixie County EOC addition, $3.7 million. That's, I mean, almost unheard of. Now, but that's not, but just the beginning. Old Town Fire Station, $3.5 million. School Access Road, now Ms. Thomas left, and I don't think superintendent's here. School Access Road, $1.5 million. The Dixie Flood and Stormwater Mitigation, drum roll please, $2.7 million. Now, that'll clean out a bunch of culverts.
Yes.
That will replace a lot of culverts. Now, will it answer all of our problems? No. But it is a darn good step.
Staunchly.
And Senator Bradley and I, we worked really hard to fight Miami-Dade and other places, because it's a zero-sum game, to bring $2.7 million to the good decisions of this board so that we can help solve and resolve the people's challenges that live in Dixie County so that they don't have to go through those things. And nobody should have to get in the boat to go to your house. Okay? And so we're all in this together. Horseshoe Beach has been trying for years to get water improvements. We were able to get $350,000. And all this is subject to the governor's veto. So just say, keep your prayers in place. But the legislature has done its job. And I think we fared really, really well, and that's why I wanted to come and share this with you face-to-face, in person. But this is really good news. And we don't always have, our prayers are not always answered. We always pray them, and we know it's a bigger plan than ours. But these are the prayers that we've been praying in the last 6 or 8 months, and they come true.
Yes.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sad. I'm sad for not being able to be able to cast the vote and be at Dixie County on my little main thing, but I can tell you, you're never lost my support. As long as I'm in the legislature and as long as I'm able to cast the vote, I will support the initiatives and the people of Dixie County because it's the right thing to do. Questions from the dais? Can I answer any questions from
now, you? Yep, now. We're still waiting on the governor to sign all that,
the
budget on
yes,
all that stuff.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I just want to make sure everybody knows that we ain't got that money yet.
No, it's
so
not. It's right.
I'm just going to make sure.
I got you.
Okay.
Chairman, I'll be remiss if I didn't say that the governor has signed the budget. It's such an honor to be able to support Dixie County, but I couldn't do it without supporting this lady right here. My wife, Jane, because she supports me 110%, I can support you 110%. And never, the folks that are in elected office, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, people say ugly things about you, and it rolls off your back because you're the elected official. It don't roll off the back of your family members.
No, it don't.
And they want to fight somebody. I mean, literally, they want to
I got you. You probably hit a subject that is at every one of our homes. Ms. Dan, I want to thank you for allowing Mr. Chuck the time to serve Dixie County. He has done a tremendous job, brother. I've called him on a Monday. I've called him on a Sunday. He's always answered my phone call. If not, he was busy, and he always called me back. And the gentleman you were talking about a while ago, I got a phone call. I did not know Adam's house cat, just like she didn't either. But I explained to Mr. Chuck what was going on, and he said, let me work on it, Commissioner. And so he went to work on it. He called me back the head of the hospital will be at his bedside. And today that man's doing great. He's really doing great. He was getting really very little medical treatment because of COVID. And Mr. Chuck, he saved that man's life in my book. And you said something from the very beginning. This county ain't been just Dix County. You've become part of our community. You've become a Dix Canyon. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for my family. And thank you for our community and county for what you've done for us. You went above and beyond every time, not one time, every time. You went above and beyond. And it means the world to me. And just to show you how much it does mean to me, I've already been politicking for you over in Levy County. I'm telling them what a damn fool they're going to be if they don't get Chuck Clinton as their representative. We had a canvassing board meeting in Orlando, and I went across some of their people over there, and they do think you're a rock star after I got through with them. but thank you very much for what you've done, and you have been most truly a friend, but a man of your word, and that's few and far between these days. And I just want to thank you on behalf of the Board of County Commissioners, on behalf of our citizens and my family. Thank you.
Thank you. In closing, I'll apologize for looking like Frankenstein today, but sun damage is real, and skin cancer is real. And if you, and I'm looking at some of you folks that may have some white hair like me, go to your dermatologist, get those little bumps checked out, because they can kill you. They can kill you. And so do what the doctors say. And, I always wanted to be a lifeguard when I was 20-something years old, and I did it, and I was young and stupid, and smarter, older people told me, son, that's no good for you. Stay out of the sun. And you know what I did? Just like most of the other young people, mm-hmm. I did what I wanted to do, and now you're paying the price for it. Mm-hmm. As far as what my advice, I don't give advice, because if it doesn't work out, then you blame me. I'll give you observations. And as elected officials, what my observations are for you is be accessible, do what you can, when you can, for as long as you can, help as many people as you're able to do. Look, and you'll be able to always look yourself in the mirror. Mm-hmm. You won't be able to solve all the problems, but it's better to be upfront with the folks so that there's not any false expectations.
Because
you don't have a magic wand, and you don't have a crystal ball, and you're only human. So as long as you can do those things, I can tell you, you can keep your head up high, and your reputation is all you have. And for the rational people, that will matter. And for the irrational people, it's never going to matter. Treat them with kindness, pray for them, and bless their heart.
Amen.
Thank you so much for letting me be here today.
Yes.
I appreciate it.
Just
a moment, sir. I would like to publicly thank you. I told you I'm going to speak to you before you leave, but I want to publicly thank you. About $22 million, a little over $7 million of that is coming to my department to build two fire stations. That the UNC expansion is not only expanding our office capabilities, but also adding room for a fire station for our crews that are sleeping in buildings in the living room on cots. So I want to publicly thank you, and I'll step outside when you're done and talk to you privately. Any questions after this?
$22.9 million, and you said it was going for six items, and I only counted five.
No, it's about $11 million for the six items. The other was usual, reasonable, and customary.
Chalk and scrap, road project.
Road construction.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all in the county-by-county allocation that Wayne has.
Okay, thank you.
I'm checking my map. I like that.
Good question.
Did
you ask Ross to get up there and take
pictures of
both of
them? Thank you for your boss. You know, of all the bosses that I have, I'm scared of that one.
You better be.
I don't know what I did to deserve this, but I'm thankful for my blessings. Thank you all. God bless you.
Thank you. Constitutional officers. I know the sheriff wants to come up.
Good morning.
morning, Commissioners.
Good morning.
Tough to follow Mr. Chuck all the way to bed after he speaks. He's a wonderful man, wonderful representative. It's going to be tough to lose him this morning. I'll make mine short so we can continue on with the business today. Two things I want to bring to, or ask, bring to the commission's thought and request, if it would look into it, is one is drafting an ordinance for each county. In the past few months, days, since I've been elected sheriff, I found that a few undisturbing or disturbing issues with some erratic behavior and crime. Looking at some of those topics of who's doing it, why they're doing it, which a sheriff should be, it seems to point back to one particular issue that's continued to grow in the county, and that is related to sex offenders and sexual predators. Now, my opinion, and I stand on this one partially, is that some of the most violent crimes that we face in law enforcement in the community. Dixie County has had an increasing hesitancy in these offenders and these predators moving into Dixie County. And one of the reasons I think it's violent is we do not have a strong enough ordinance. Looking at some of the other ordinances throughout the state and other counties, their ordinance is tough. And we pick those phone calls up, and the first thing that we get asked at the sheriff's office or at the jail from some of these violators is, what is your ordinance? And what we have to do is tell them we recognize and enforce the Florida statutes. I'm going to ask the commissioners to maybe get the attorney to look into this, to start drafting an ordinance so we can protect our county and our citizens from this influx that we're receiving coming into our county. So, Chairman, if in the world, with y'all's graces, I've looked at some of the local counties and connecting counties, kind of seeing what they have on their ordinance. Lafayette County has got a strong ordinance. I like the verbiage in that ordinance. And I would just ask permission for the county attorney to review this, to see if we can move forward in drafting an ordinance against sexual predators and sexual offenders inundating our county.
You answered one of my questions. Most times I shut up, that's what happens. But, yes, 100%, I'm going to make a motion to do that. And with your input also as sheriff, high-ranking law enforcement in the county, I would love to have your input on this also. So with Michael, I'm going to make a motion for Michael to work with, draw something up with your input on it also, and bring it back to the board for approval. So I'll make that motion through that to happen.
We got a motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second.
We got a second, Mr. Valentine. All in favor? Aye.
Mr. Chairman, Sheriff, can we, will you give us those examples, include myself in it, my office, that way when you get it to the attorney, we can start reviewing it for the
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
The last topic I'm going to bring to the commission is we had a request through Waste Management for any vehicles that the Sheriff's Office may be able to donate. And Mr. Mike, general request of it was for, it looks like it's going to be a 2012 Chevy vehicle. I would like to donate this vehicle to the board, the commission, to do with what needs to be done there in solid waste. If you would accept this vehicle, let's file a memo again.
Motion accept.
We got a motion, Mr. Hatch, to accept.
Second,
Mr. Valentine, all in favor.
Aye.
Thank you, Chairman. Thanks, Lord.
You get that information to HR, to Miss Angie? Okay, she got her other book.
That's all I had, board. Anything I could help answer.
Thank you for everything that you do, and like that on the predators and stuff, looking at that.
Yes, sir.
So maybe we can get tougher on them.
Yes, sir. And an example that's just recently happened, I didn't want to get into it too much, and I won't get into it much too much, but the shooting of Officer Troy Johnson, he's a great friend of mine. He worked not only in the county, but in the city. He moved to Taylor County, and the individual that not only shot him, but a few hours later, home invasion, the homeowner's man and his girlfriend, he shot him. Falls into constraints of the sexual predator and the sexual offender. This is what we need to keep out of our county. Seeking refuge here, seeking residence here. We need to put some hard walls. If we don't have these hard walls, sooner or later we're going to be inundated with these same type of philosophy, you know, living amongst our families, children around our schools. And I can't sit idly by, and you won't sit idly by, so let's team together and protect our community.
Thank you. Need a motion to go in the public hearing. Is that a motion, Mr. Valentine?
Second.
Second, Mr. Hatch. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Good morning.
Petition by Gregory Bull requesting a special exception to be granted as provided in Section 4.4.5 of Special Exception of the Dixie County Land Development Regulations to permit one recreational vehicle in an agriculture zoning district in accordance with a petition dated August 27, 2021, to be located on the property as described as follows. Dixie County Parcel Number 28-10-13-5571-0001-0001 at 4486 Southeast Highway 55A, Old Town, Florida, 32680, Commission District 3, Mark Hatch.
Any opposition?
No, sir.
Anyone here? Anyone here opposing? I thought I had opposition. Anyone opposing? Anyone on the phone? I've heard none either, so motion to approve.
You got a motion, Mr. Hatch?
Second.
Second, Ms. Valentine. All in favor?
Aye.
A petition by Vincent Daenerys requesting a special exception to be granted provided in Section 4.4.5, Special Exceptions of Dixie County Land Development Regulations to permit one recreational vehicle in an agriculture zoning district in accordance with a petition dated December 1st, 2021, to be located on the property as described as follows. Dixie County Parcel Number 02-10-13-4513-000-F-Frank-0030 at 675 Northeast, 673rd Street, Old Town, Florida, 32680, Commission District 2, W.C. Mills.
WC's not here, nor Jody. I don't know how many they got, but they said they had no opposition on their end. So if there's opposition, we're going to table it and let them.
And this one has been opposed.
Okay, motion to the table.
Is that a motion to from Mark to table it, and second from Ms. Valentine, all in favor?
A petition by Philly Simmons requesting a special exception to be granted as provided in Section 4.7.5. Special Exceptions of the Dixie County Land Development Regulations to permit one recreational vehicle in the RSF/MH zoning district in accordance with the petition dated February 28, 2022, be located on the property as described as follows. Dixie County Parcel Number 14-10-12-0000-2727-0201 at 234 Southeast 74th Avenue, Cross City, Florida, 32628, Commission District 3, Mark Hatch.
Any opposition?
No, sir.
Anyone here opposing? Anyone on the phone? I've heard none either. Motion to approve.
Is that a motion, Mr. Hatch?
Okay.
Second, Ms. Valentine. All in favor?
Aye.
A petition by Kenneth and Pamela Warnke requesting a special exception to be granted as provided in Section 4.3.5. Special Exceptions of the Dixie County Land Development Regulations to permit one recreational vehicle in the ESA zoning district in accordance with a petition dated March 14, 2022, be located on the property as described as follows. Dixie County Parcel Number 20-09-13-4423, 00001-0200 at 489 Northeast 356th Avenue, Old Town, Florida, 32680. Commission District 1, Judge Stevenson.
Any opposition?
Two times.
There's two opposition?
Yes.
Motion to table.
Got a motion to table and a second, Ms. Valentine.
Aye.
All in favor? Aye.
A petition by Eric Britton requesting a special exception to be granted as provided in Section 4.4.5, special exceptions of the Dixie County Land Development Regulations to permit one recreational vehicle in an ag agriculture zoning district in accordance with a petition dated March 16th. 2022 to be located on the property as described as follows. Dixie County parcel number 36-10-13-5665-0013-0200 at 399 Southeast 976th Street, Old Town, Florida, 32680. Commission District 2, W.C. Mills.
Any opposition?
No, sir.
Anyone here opposing? Anyone on the phone? Motion to approve.
Got a motion to approve by Mr. Hatch.
Second.
Second, Mr. Valentine. All in favor?
Aye.
A petition by Henry Shuerman located on the property is described as follows. Dixie County parcel number 02-10-13-4513-000 is in Edward-0140 at 566 Northeast 673rd Street, Old Town, Florida, 32680, to request a variance for an open pole barn, 14 by 40 by 14, by the petition dated March 10th, 2022, which is located within Section 4.4.7, Agriculture, subparagraph 1 of the Dixie County Land Development Regulations, in accordance with Section 12.3, variance procedures. Commission District 2, W.C. Mills.
Any opposition?
Yes, sir.
Anyone here opposing? Anyone on the phone? Motion to approve.
Got a motion, Mr. Hatch, to approve.
Second.
Second, Mr. Valentine. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Ms. Pam, she's a realtor. She's representing several owners. So with approval, I'll do the application for the chairman to sign. I spoke to the planning council, and that's going to be the way to fix this. And I don't think it was anything as dumb maliciously. It was just lack of understanding on what to do. Because, I mean, they talk about it in the meeting, and they went through the plat review. They just didn't follow through with all the paperwork.
So we need a motion.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Got a motion, Mr. Valentine. Second, Mr. Hatch. All in favor?
Aye.
And that's to start the process to create an ordinance to pass.
Yeah, there's going to be two applications. One, it'll be changing the current use map from commercial to residential.
You need to do that in two motions or one motion cover that?
There'll be two applications. We'll do the future land use map change first, and then we'll do the current use change. I just basically need permission for the chairman to sign an application representing all the owners that bought these lots. Did the plat showing that they were residential and not commercial. I got you. That takes care of that. On the agenda, Sarah Ross had asked that she be yard and vote be placed there. I know all the commissioners weren't here, but on March 8th, there was a meeting between Mr. Erstein, myself, and Ms. Ross, and she wanted to speak, ask the board to consider having a supermajority vote on changes to land use. Did some research on it, check with other surrounding counties and the planning council. Did it in a common practice for a surrounding county. I had Mr. Blaine reach out to the other county managers for their input. And Mr. Blaine, you got back.
Yes, Taylor County and Gilchrist County at the time has responded back, and that they only, it's not a super, it's a normal vote, 3-2 vote, not a super majority, based off of their LDRs is what they told me, or put an email.
So I know she wanted to speak to the board on that, for the planning side of things. I don't know if anything that you wanted to present to them, but now would be the time
to
present that up.
Come on up, Ms. Ross.
Good morning. So last year, if you recall, the state required to add property rights to the comprehensive plan. Through my own research, I discovered that additional property rights could be added, tailored to a specific county. Currently, we are at where when we change the comprehensive plan, which is the future land use and the zoning, it is a 3-person majority. A supermajority, or also called a majority plus one vote, would require 4 county commissioners to be in an agreement instead of the 3. It is a great honor to be a county commissioner, and that comes with a lot of responsibility. Changes to the future land use map and zoning map, these are permanent, so once you make changes, it can affect generations to come, even after when you're no longer in office. Since the past year, property rights were adopted. Many counties in Florida have adopted the supermajority vote requirement. Those counties are, if I'm pronouncing them correctly, Collier, Madison, Monroe, Palm Beach, Pasco, Pinellas County, and Sarasota County. Just recently, the city of Winter Haven just passed, I think it was March 8th, a supermajority vote for land changes in their city. It is expected that more counties and cities will adopt this. It's a new process that just started last year. This addition of requiring a supermajority is not to prevent growth, but to effectively manage growth while helping preserve the county's unique culture. Each county commissioner, past, present, and future, usually run on the premise of being the voice for the people. When requiring a supermajority vote, this actually puts the power back in the people's hands. they have found that doing this has led developers to be more willing to compromise with the people and also be more with deliberations, since they now know that they have to get four commissioners to vote on it instead of the three. So this helps make sure that everyone is coherent and we're all on the same page. It helps also to protect the integrity of the comprehensive plan. As stated in previous discussions I've had in this room and in the old town room, people are not moving here to Dixie County because of the jobs that we offer. They come here because they fall in love with our unique culture and our lifestyle. Our rural communities come together when someone is in need, like no other. I mean, this is not where I was born and raised, but we have scholarship nights. We do bake sales. We come together when people are in need. If you notice, the counties that I listed before that just adopted this plan, they have already faced rapid growth, way more than Dixie ever had. I don't want us to be on catch-up mode when growth comes that we're grabbing at straws trying to protect the culture and the lifestyle that we have. I would like to see, as a concerned citizen of this county, that Dixie takes a stand, that we will make sure that our unique qualities and culture can be preserved when rapid growth does come to our area. There may come a time in our future when county commissioners may not have the same desire to preserve our unique culture that makes Dixie the great place to live and raise a family. The decision they make can also affect us for generations to come, and it may not be in the same way that our founding fathers would have liked Dixie to turn out to be. Making the requirement of a four-vote majority for land changes will help future generations of our county. All I can do as a concerned citizen is voice my concern. It will be up to you all to move forward if you ask your attorney to develop the ordinance and then vote on it. I humbly ask you to consider adding a supermajority when making lasting changes to our future land use map and our zoning map. We know that growth is coming. We see it on the news every day. We have a wonderful governor that has helped bring more and more people to Florida. We're asking in comfort and knowing that what's best for the people will be a priority. Thank you.
Thank you. I guess, Leon, you want to come back to that? So you got anything to add to it?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I'd like to speak to the good.
Okay.
My name's Howard Hart. I'm a resident of Gina or Steve Hatching.
Dixie County.
I've been there since 74. I'm 100% in favor of growth, anywhere we can develop a piece of property and share our what we have an inheritance of, to be able to share it with others that are less fortunate than we are. I'm in favor of that. Due to the fact that I am chairman of the board of Big Bend Water Authority, in our interlocal agreement, we have in there a supermajority, which means it's deadlocked doing anything with the supermajority. And I say that for an example of this. In our interlocal agreement, we have where, due to the fact that we're in two counties, we're in Taylor County and Dixie County, we have what we call a floater, which means we have a representative, we have three members that are appointed by the county, and we have two that are voted on by the board itself of Big Bend Water Authority. Here recently, we wanted to make sure the representatives from 1 year in Dixie County, 1 year in Taylor County, which balances out the so-called political realm of a government entity. Well, I myself personally have been on the board, I'm going to guess 15 years, and I see when I started that I would like to beat the floater, go from 1 year to another year. I would like to see them be 2 years. It still does the same thing. It just allows a floater, which is another board member, to be able to understand what they've learned in 12 months and how they could do it in 24 months. So to me, that was a super thing to do for an individual. And trust me, these are all volunteers. So whoever does this, y'all volunteers to do it. But we would like to see the floater have 2 years in Dixon County, 2 years in Taylor County. And it goes back and two. But 2 years will give you more insight on how to vote on what, because you understand a little bit of the history of what went on the board in the county. And trust me, Dixie and Taylor County is busting at the seams with progress. I mean, there's homes being built, there's homes being bought, and they're buying them sight unseen. They're buying building material without even being there. They send you a check and pay for it. So as far as Bigman Water is concerned, and what I'm getting to is this. When you have a supermajority, to me, you have a deadlock. We tried to do that. We'd get 2 years on this side, 2 years on that side. And what kept us from doing it was a supermajority, which meant, you know, just about everybody's got to be in agreement or you can't change anything. So I encourage you, do not vote in a supermajority for any decision. The majority has always won, and I'd like to see it continue to do that. I don't mean in opposition to Sarah from the point of understanding part of what she's trying to do, and I really don't like being up here, you know, saying anything against it, because in her heart and what she's doing is she's trying to kind of mix all work together and slow down a little bit. And there's nothing wrong with that, but we still need to have a majority to be able to make a decision. And I appreciate it if y'all would keep it that way. Thank you.
So to wrap that up, my job is just to bring information to you. We researched it, checked with other surrounding counties and the planning council here in our area. It's where to go.
My opinion is this. I've seen stuff through the years that would not be here if it was a supermajority. And one prime example is our Lucky Charms out there on 249. That was a 3-2 vote, and I can tell you exactly who voted what. I remember it like it was yesterday, and that was in 2012 when that happened, and 11-12, that's when that happened. I just, like today, if we had something today, we could not conduct business today if we had something, because we wouldn't have another vote here. We'd have to have a full board. This is an uncommon thing where two commissioners are out, but yet we're still able to conduct county business, except for the couple we tabled, and the reason behind that is it is their district, so we're going to let them work in their district. But I'm not for it myself. That's just my opinion. We got two other opinions.
I agree.
I think part of this was based on in the last meeting about fears of zoning and map changes, and then some of that was based on today, you know, just procedures not being 100%.
I agree with Mr. Mark on that.
They know I'm against it. I thought most of that people down there, the people in the county don't want it. Just get busted out of the scene. That's my decision, but I can be voted down, but that's the way I feel now.
Well, now, we got a motion to go back in the board. Mr. Patch. Need a second.
That's got it. Second.
Mr. Valentine, all in favor? Aye. Good evening.
So now we have resolution 2022-55, Gregory Bull.
Motion.
A motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Valentine. All in favor? Aye.
2022-56.
That was tabled.
Tabled. and 2022-57, Kelly Simmons.
Motion. Got a motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second.
Second, Mr. Valentine. All in favor?
Aye.
2022-59, Eric Britton.
Motion.
We got a motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Valentine. All in favor?
Aye.
2022-60, Henry Shoreman.
Motion.
We got a motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Valentine. All in favor?
Aye. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Miss Erica. Miss Erica, Miss Wendy. Was that
Wendy?
It was Miss Wendy, but Miss Wendy couldn't make it. Miss Erica's taking her place.
Okay. I apologize for the evening. I'm a type 1 diabetic, so my alarm was going off only my blood sugar was over certain parameters. Proclamation 22-61-Health Care Decision Day. Whereas National Health Care Decision Day is recognized by the Doctor Hunger on April 16th. It is time to require, educate, and empower the public and providers to help support health care planning to raise public awareness of the need to plan for health care decisions, especially those related to end-of-life care and medical decision-making when patients are unable to speak for themselves, and to encourage the specific use of advanced directives to communicate these important health care decisions. And whereas health care and community organizations across Florida State are assisting people to plan for future health care decisions in the event they are unable to make their own medical decisions, and to encourage the use of advanced directives to communicate these important health care decisions. And whereas a large percentage of Dixie County residents have not yet prepared for health care decisions, a crisis and or aspects of life have not had important conversations with their families, loved ones, and their health care providers, and documented those decisions. And whereas it is likely that a significant reason for this large percentage is that there is both a lack of knowledge and considerable confusion in the public about advanced care planning and advanced directives. And whereas one of the principles of National Health Care Decision Day is to encourage physicians and their care teams, medical groups, hospitals, health systems, nursing homes, assisted living facilities, continuing retirement communities, hospices, community organizations to participate in the statewide efforts to provide clear and consistent information to the public about advanced care planning. And whereas community hospice and palliative care of North Central Florida and other healthcare organizations and community groups have endorsed this event and are committed to educating the public about the importance of healthcare, discussing healthcare choices and executing health advanced directives. And whereas the COVID-19 pandemic makes advanced care planning even more important, with every age group being impacted, 840,000 deaths in county in the United States attributed to the virus. Whereas a result of the month, April 2022, being recognized as National Healthcare Decisions Month, and April 16, 2022, as National Healthcare Decisions Day, more citizens will have conversations about their healthcare decisions. More citizens will execute advanced directives to make their wishes known, and fewer families and healthcare providers will have to struggle with making difficult healthcare decisions in the absence of guidance from the patient. Now, therefore, the authority vested in me by the Board of County Commissioners of Dixie County, Florida, I do hereby proclaim April 2022 as National Healthcare Decisions Month, with April 15, 2022 as National Healthcare Decisions Day, to encourage citizens to increase their understanding and awareness of care at the end of life, discuss their end-of-life wishes with their families, and observe this month with appropriate activities and programs in Dixie County, Florida. Duly proclaimed this 7th day of April, AD 2022.
Make a motion to approve that.
You got a motion, Mr. Hatch, to approve.
Second,
Ms. Valentine, all in favor.
Aye.
Thank you. Ms. Deanna Shepherd.
You know, everything she said, that's okay. and I'm going to give some of my cards to Ms. Barbie, and y'all can just pass them down. If you have any questions or need to follow up with anything, please don't hesitate to email, call me, and I'll get you back. So, I am Deanna Shepherd. I'm with Haven Hospice. I'm a professional liaison for Lee Gilchrist, Dixie, and LaClaya, and Brandon. So, Proclamation 2022-62 National Healthcare Decisions Month, declaring April 2022 as National Healthcare Decisions Month in Dixie County, Florida. National Healthcare Decision Day is recognized across our nation on April 16, 2022 to raise public awareness of the need to plan ahead for healthcare decisions, especially those related to end-of-life care and medical decision-making, because patients are able to seek themselves and to encourage the specific use of advanced directives to communicate these important healthcare decisions. Many Dixie County, Florida residents have not yet prepared for healthcare decisions at times of crisis or at the end of life. We had important conversations with their families and their health care with their families and documented those decisions, documented it to work. It is likely a significant reason for these low percentages is that there's both a lack of awareness and uncertainty in the public about advanced directives. One of the goals of Healthcare Decisions Day is to raise awareness and provide clear and consistent information to the public about advanced directives, as well as to encourage medical professionals and lawyers to volunteer their time and efforts to improve public knowledge and increase the network skills of citizens with advanced directives. Haven Hospice endorses this event and is committed to educating the public during the month of April to stress the importance of discussing healthcare choices and executing advanced directives to make their wishes known. I don't have any authority to go to the county unless y'all want to do it right here and now. So I ask the board to, of Dixie County to proclaim April 2022 as National Healthcare Decision Month in Dixie County, Florida on this April
7th, 2022. I want to thank both of y'all for what y'all do. It's thankless job from time to time, I'm sure. So with that being said, I'll make a motion to approve her.
We've got a motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second.
Second, Ms. Valentine. All in favor. Aye.
Thank y'all very much. Also, one thing I just want to say, because, you know, I couple that know me in here, I have to shut up. But one thing that is very important is that this is not a hospice referral. This is not just for those at end of life. It is for anybody in this room, for your parents, for your adult kids, for anybody, who has an opinion as to how the decision stays long. If you are on a ventilator and you don't want your whole entire life to end as month to month on a ventilator, then you probably should put that in writing. For those of us, I mean, all of us for the most part, I mean, I'm local, I'm a country girl, I know that myself and my three siblings are never going to agree on what to do with my mom. Ever. There's one that's going to hang on to her till she kills her laying in that bed and she comes home. So I'm telling you, have the discussion. It is not an easy one. However, if you call us or community or any of the hospices around, we can have that discussion or help you have that discussion with your loved ones. Put it in writing. And if there is a healthcare surrogate, have that in place as well. Please don't just say, oh, yeah, so-and-so knows exactly what I want. Guess what? That may not be what happens in the end. And it's free. There's no cost. And, again, it's not a hospice. You know, people get scared to death to say hospice. Hospice is not an ugly word. I swear to you, that's a free service. It's a community resource. Again, plenty of cards. I've got plenty of information, and it's not hard to find. Okay. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Kyle Strickland, Swanee Water and Sewer.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning.
How are y'all?
Pretty good. You?
We hanging in there. Manager report for March 21st today. I want to thank Commissioner Hatch and all the other board members for selecting me to serve on the district board December meeting 2021. I want to apologize for the lack of GM report and BOCC over the last several months. The Water and Sewer District had one meeting in January, but the February meeting being canceled for lack of due to resignations. We now have four board members and are able to have regular meetings in March. We also had a special meeting for a workshop with the following meetings to follow the workshop in order to prepare an ad for advertising for the general manager. At the March meeting, I was asked to serve as the interim manager. This is my second time in this position over the last dozen or so years. I've accepted this position with excitement and assist the district as best I can in the middle of it as I can. We are now serving 937 customers. This is up from 931. Initiated a stepped-up procedures to go ahead and get these ground pumps and things in the ground as they sit there waiting on work orders. We have some pending from Central Florida Electric. Applications have already been forwarded, and once they get back to us, we can do those. We have 9 requests for installs. 4 of those are waiting on the electric. We have to disconnect one service by request of property owner because he bought the adjacent lot to him, and there was an existing 110 service there. He no longer needed that service, so we went and took it out. And that service has generated no money over the last 5 years. We had 13 ground pumps available for the customers. We had 0 on order. Lab results of drinking water quality indicates no abnormalities, resulting in any deficiencies. Lift pump concerns over the last week in March were resolved with one pump, possibly having a bearing problem. We have ordered a new replacement and are having the pump rebuilt in case of emergency replacement needs. We are in need of replacement equipment, and I'm working on that with grant money possible for the district. I've contacted Mr. Cassidy and helping me aid and assist in that, which is way out of my wheelhouse. Mr. Matt Harrison has been a very big asset to the waters and sewer department, and aiding with the taps and the water lines so we can go ahead and get these people serviced in our community. I have a few concerns that's going on at the district level that I'm dealing with, and they're really a little concerned right now. It's just getting through the stages, and then this is my third week into it. It's a work in progress. We have advertised for the general manager's position, which will be coming online shortly. It'll be advertised through 3 local newspapers, which will be Pearl City, Gainesville, and Chiefland, along with the website, and we're advertising through MP and ZipRecruiter. Through the encouragement of Matt Fryerson, I have one of our Texans crew in Gainesville at the moment, which is going to aid in water distribution as far as tap concern and wastewater taps without the contractor being there. This will be a tremendous cost savings for us.
I have a few things. As y'all know, we've appointed quite a few of the board members, and Mr. Strickland holds the title of being the shortest appointed board member. What was it, about a week?
March.
Yeah, so he had about a week and a half under his belt as a new board member that we voted on, and he's seen the desire down there. Ms. Jerry Lynn was overwhelmed. The office staff was overwhelmed. And his statement was he wants to do whatever's best for the district. And he has done this before, and it's worked really well. Now they got a plan in place to do some advertising for a manager. And if he applies, I don't know if he does or don't, but that's his business. If not, we did not fill his position on the board, and if they hire a manager, he will come back to the board as a board member. So thank you, Mr. Powell, for what you're doing. They can't operate with a full board member down there right now until they get this ironed out. And if if he applies, and that we'll fill the position, or we'll hopefully
the election will fill the position down there.
So, with all that being said, I want to thank you, Commissioner of the District, and behalf of the Board of County Commissioners for you stepping up, helping 20 Water and Sewer District out. Tremendous help, tremendous amount of knowledge you have, good people skills, ex-retired firefighter, paramedic, EMT, police officer as well. He'll shoot you or tase you. just to pass that information on along to Mr. Tyler, wears many hats, including that big black pretty hat he's got on his head now.
I might add that this was a temporary interim appointment. That happened on Monday. I started on Tuesday. I put in 36 hours that week. I had put in over 50 hours last week, and I'm probably going to have that many this week.
Me knowing you, that don't surprise me a bit in the world. You don't halfway do nothing.
It's not a part-time position. They need a manager here full-time because friends can kind of get rolling the wrong way, and leadership kind of follows. So, yeah.
Is that true, Dwayne? That's very true.
Well, they think they need it. They need guidance.
Yes.
The boys are happy. I'm happy. And after 19 years of retirement,
thank you, Mr. Taft.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Gregg, Mr. Bailey. There you go.
Do it in brief.
Younger Gregg.
Oh, I just got two quick updates on the courthouse projects, the security upgrades. The contractor had a delay in getting those materials ordered and actually finding the materials. We've been told that we're looking at start date about 1st of May, May 2nd to be exact. We'll be issuing the notice to proceed for May 2nd. On the parking lot, we're working with Anderson now to get a start date of when they can get out here, and then we'll name that with Wayne, and so the county can get their part on for that project as well. So hopefully look for next week to have a date, start date for the parking lot construction. And that is all I have on the question today.
Thank you. Thank you for everything you do. Mr. Jared.
Was there online today? Anybody online for Lockton Associates?
Nope. Miss Cindy?
I think we have finally finished everything you do with our inventory. Maybe. There's so much to do after the books are counted that I feel working on that. I have been working on that. So it should be very nice to have it all goes well. I took off a couple of days last week. Thank you very much. I just realized how much I did. I had a great time, but now I'm starting to catch up. Take a day off. So Wayne well knows that it's been overcome that. But have completed our plans for the summer program. We're going to start something a little different this year. I hope that the parents are kind enough to bring the kids to the library. We're going to have our regular summer flip programming, and then we're going to have come in and meet the kids. And with Wayne has kindly assisted the and then we're going to start showing kids movies on Friday afternoon. How will that get? So it's a little more entertainment for kids. That the parents can provide some that no cost. When you get some maintenance that's done at Congress, other than that, everything's going well.
Good deal. Is that it, Miss Cindy? Thank you very much, and thank you for all your hard work, and thank you for keeping our library as good a show as it is, and all that. They do. They do, and they work very, very hard. Thank you. Mr. Steve Freeman.
He's out.
Okay. Road Department. You got something?
Nothing. Yes, good.
Okay. I think I got
Mr. Chauncey.
He's not here, but I will address the mosquito we got with the state last week. We started the county's mosquito control, the spraying routes, as of Monday afternoon. So they conducted two knots last night. It was too bad of weather. Obviously, if it's over, say, 15 miles an hour when the sun goes down, that they have to hold, and there's a period to call in or whatever, and they just called it. So, but they are spraying 4 nights a week, and the plan is to get a complete cycle and then start addressing each one of the actual physical calls. So they call the 498-1303 number, leave a voicemail of the address. Yes, please write that down, 352-498-1303. That's the contact for mosquito control. So leave your name and address.
I want to elaborate a little bit on that, what Dwayne was talking about, the 498-1303. If you don't call it, that will be an answer machine that answers that phone.
Yes.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you can call that number. But if you don't call that number, we don't have a complaint. We don't have a mosquito problem. So our funding is complaint-driven.
Yep.
So please call 498-1303 if you have a mosquito problem, or your friend, neighbor, whatever.
I got one of mine.
Yeah. We've called. That is a complaint driven. Call and leave a message.
Mr. Latson.
Just a quick update there. His wife is doing a little better. She still is in the hospital, so he's back in two with her.
Okay.
He is actually out today with her. But since the last meeting, they have burnt the Swanee roll-off and Canary 317 sites. They are going to Jack Roberts Curve in the rock pit next. The metal has been picked up right now at the rock pit, and they're starting to move some of the stuff at the transfer station. So we have seen action in the past 3 weeks in regards to the metal. They will be this weekend if anyone sees them out. They're helping with a burnout. There'll be some overtime for Friday and Saturday helping over here in town across city on the house that burned from a couple weeks back. And they'll be addressing that, helping out with some 20-yard cans. And as of, should be now, they should be back, but they've hauled 9 loads of garbage this week. That's all I have to report.
Okay. Mr. Leon?
Real quick, I gave you a printout. I had some phone calls, and this will be at the next meeting. I'm signing the campground on 19 that was previously approved yesterday. So the owner met with UT, and he decided he did not want to bring that access out on 19. He purchased a basement property right there. Now the X-ray. And so you've probably seen him out there working. That was one thing, just to kind of clarify any questions that you might be getting on that. The other two items is the contract submitted for plans to start the cell tower out off of 58. And out of the blue, we got the zoning number one verification for a second area of the tower. It's going to be replacing the one on 346. That they demoed. That was a guy tower. They're going to be putting up another Verizon tower there as well. So I think my object might construct both of them. That'll
connect that corridor.
55A and 346. Right in there. Coverage. Other than that, that's all I have to do.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Mr. Dion. Mr. Brown, sir. You ain't got a thing. Are you sure? Are you sure?
Leave him alone.
Thank you, Derek.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Mr. Scott.
Well, I'll take up the slack.
Okay.
First thing on the floor, I'll give this to you. So,
y'all, honestly, a board meeting to go about next generation 911 services. This is a quote from the company that AK Associates is the company that we contract with and provided by state loans to manage our 911 system, the actual technical side of the 911 system. So this is a next generation core services. What this does is take the phone system, basically the phone company, out of the mix. This provides 911 services using internet access, which is basically voice over IP services, which is a true voice over IP service where it actually comes through the fiber down a phone line and just into a service circuit. Y'all remember, I've done this before, we had that issue a few storms ago, I think it was Hermine, or I don't remember which, where we lost 911 service. And because of AT&T not providing power to their switch, that's why we lost our circuits. Luckily, we have fall over, so it goes to another county when that happens. So we don't actually lose it, but it was an issue. And it causes us to have to make phone calls. This provider right here, actually, as you can see on the map, there's primary access is the AT&T fiber going to the jail now. That's the primary circuit. Secondary circuit is the Unity fiber, which is already at the EOC, and it already is fed to the 911 service as a backup. Now, this utilizes that as well. So this is a better service for us, and this is the way the state's going. So this is a quote from them. It actually is a cost savings in the long run. There's a lot of this stuff, because it is where the state's going, a lot of this funds are reimbursable by the state for our state grants that we get already.
But this will save us money.
This will like save us money in the long run.
I'll wait when I hear long run. yeah, what about the short run?
Yeah.
There is an upfront cost to get everything installed, just like
the installation fee.
But that is also can be covered by state funding as well.
Our existing grant, Scott, or an additional grant that we would apply for to cover the mechanics?
The grant that we have now,
yeah,
that we get twice a year,
right,
that covers the maintenance costs. That can cover the circuit. It can cover the database that's on this list. So some of the, you'll see them highlighted in yellow. That's the thing that the state grants can cover to reduce those overall costs. The setup fee can be covered by what we call a state grant, which we can only apply for every so often. That's what we will apply for every 5 years to replace our equipment. We've done it back in 18 to refresh all of our equipment. So every 5 years, we can apply for that state grant. That they're proposing next year is our five-year mark,
so we can
apply at the end of this year when the next grant cycle comes up, at the end of, well, I think it's October 1st when the next grant comes up for that. We can apply for that to cover the upfront cost, which is $13,000. It's actually $20,000 for another quote on the back that I provided as well, that she didn't quote originally, but it was $23,296. That grant actually, or that quote, provides those, what I told y'all before, the what they call the PSAP in a box. It gives us the ability to pick up a suitcase and take the PSAP center somewhere else and start answering 911 calls somewhere else. This provides access. If you use our emergency command center, we can turn our command center into an actual dispatch.
Ain't it that way now? I mean, really, can't they move some of their 911 calls out there now? Or
the way
not?
It works, it causes us to have to call AT&T. They have to switch it in their circuits,
yeah,
to go to the answering point at the jail. There is a fourth answering point at the EOC now.
I thought so. But this would speed that process up, make it a better
process.
Speed
that up, and it's actually already built into the system as a follow-up.
Right.
You don't have to call them.
So it's basically an upgrade to the system we have now. Okay.
So this is more of an informational. We move forward with it in the long run, but we need to look at that grant towards the end of the year. When I get all that stuff situated up, but I just want to let y'all know this is where we're at, just the direction we're going to move. And there is some funding, you know, capital expenditure funds in my budget that we roll over every year, so there's some funds there that we could use as well.
I totally agree with this process 100%, but, you know, the other side of it, let's get as much as we can.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because really and truly, you're talking about the five-year layover. I'm sure in y'all's department over there, there's some equipment that needs to be replaced, so we're going to be lacking there a little bit to put over here. So
well, we can't spend that money for that.
Right.
My 911 money can only be spent
right.
Communication.
But there's reasons we get that money there. Part of it was for this. But
right. I understand.
There's other stuff that can come up, and that can, I could have to buy a switch for 911 in the middle of a grant cycle.
Right. The other thing I have is I called Dwayne yesterday on something or other. I either call Dwayne 10 times a day or I don't call him in 2 days. That's the way it works. So either gets 50 phone calls a day or he just gets none for a couple of days.
Yeah.
But he said, well, let me run this by IT. And I said, how good that feel to say that?
Good. I love it.
Yeah. So thank you for what you're doing. Yeah. You are making a heck of a difference, and it's only going to get better. I do appreciate it. I know the board does.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I have five titles, so that's a separate thing.
Okay.
So, the second thing on the 911 is I have a contract here for AK Associates. It necessarily probably doesn't need board action because it's already something we approved.
Yeah.
But the problem was when we did the reimbursement for the fall grant, they flew a flag. Even though it was a lesser amount, they still said, you need to update the contract. I'm like, it's less than what the contract says. But anyway, they want us to upgrade it. So it's already been signed by AK Associates. I just need to update the signature from the chairman.
We got a motion from Mr. Hatch for allow me to sign this.
A second.
We got a second. All in favor?
I can get that back to him so I can get our money back. Okay. Fall grant stuff we've already paid for. So, the last thing under 911 is next week I'll be at the spring conference learning some more stuff about all this stuff. Now I can get my head more wrapped around this next generation stuff as well. So I'll have more information on that while you're back from that. But I'll be out of town next week for that. So, next section, IT. The Unity Fiber stuff is still moving forward. I talked to them last week. Everything is in permitting. I talked to the city. They were signing off some of the stuff at the city for permitting from their side, and they should be getting that stuff going. They've been telling me between sometime in April through May, the courthouse obviously is going to take a little longer because they still have to board the line, but they're still promising May for the whole project to be done. I'm still looking at equipment. A lot of equipment that we looked at originally was on back order. I've spoken to different companies. Wayne and I have met with different companies. I have several different quotes. Once I get all that laid out, I'll come to the board probably next time and get approval on all those expenditures so we can get all this moving forward. So we've got some options here. We are meeting with people. I've got a meeting this afternoon with the current person that we deal with our managing the server. I've got a quote already from another agency to do that as well. So we're going to look at all options when it comes to that. Even though I might do a good job, and I'm a good face to see, but I'm still one man, and it's still good to have somebody in our corner to help us manage those servers, make sure if I'm not available, somebody's going to pick up the phone and fix things. So just keep that in the back of your mind. We are looking at we have met as well. We've got another meeting tomorrow about the phone system. Everybody thinks down the AT&T phone system we've got, antiquated technology. We are when the network goes in, we are looking at the voice over IP system for the whole time. But you got to have a network to do that. You can't do that off the regular phone. Courthouse server room. Barbie and I have talked about this. Sheriff and I have talked about this. They're all for it. I've had them clean it out. They were here with the inmate. I had Bradley and them clean that room out. So I know this was talked about several years ago, I guess. I heard it. For some reason, it was shot down, but we're going to move forward with that on y'all's blessing, and we have a centralized server room for the home and courthouse. Tax collector, Michelle said she's in the process of looking at options on her office, so she don't want to move her server just yet until she figures out what she wants to do, whether she wants to expand or go to another location. That's what she said. So, but Robbie, Bobby, and Sheriff are all for moving their service, Bobby especially, because she wants to.
I wanted out of my
jet out of her closet, as she says. It will cost a little bit. But the county work, Bradley and them could do the work just to clean it up in there, get some of those pipes out of the way, wall it off, make it look nice and secure. It has to be secure because they'll have sensitive information in there, obviously. But once I get those quotes, I'll bring those to you all at one time as well. I think that's all I got.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Miss Gail. Is Gail here?
She ain't here.
Ms. Holly.
Holly's not, but she's had to thank the board for all the support and help with the children at the fair over the past 2 weeks of all the activities. Greatly appreciated, and it was another successful year.
Yeah. So we should be seeing them.
Oh, yeah.
Successful bills.
Them tickets.
Appreciate that.
They're in the mail.
I promise. Yeah, much appreciated.
Ms. Angie.
We had a good wellness check meeting yesterday. All the appointments were full. We even had probably an additional 10 walk-ins, so I appreciate all departments participating in that. We're looking at a possible makeup day for those that couldn't come that were out of town. And while they would come in to do the wellness check, I also gave those employees their new policy and procedure manual. So I tried to kill two birds with one stone with that. And I'm working to get the rest of the manuals out now to the different departments based on what they need. That's all I have, unless anything from
me. Thank you, Ms. Angie.
Thank you.
Mr. Duane.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. Got a few action items this morning. I'll try to be brief. We'll start out with action item number one. Request board approval to execute the corrective subordination agreement for Ms. Angela Corsett. This is with the SHIP program. The previous one, we approved it in February. It didn't get recorded with the title company, so we're having to go back and do some administrative updates and approval on that. So.
Motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Ms. Valentine. All in favor?
Aye. I need board approval to execute the request of a SHIP assistance purchase of a home for Brandon Belton in the amount of $20,000.
Motion. Got a motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second,
Mr. Valentine. All in favor?
Aye.
Board approval to execute the contract agreement with BDT Transportation Services, and it's for our AWOL system for the Cross City Airport in the amount of $5,650.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Valentine. All in favor?
Aye.
Number four, I'm very excited about for us to move forward with the execution of the contract with Triple D Construction and Site Work LLC for the Cross City Flood Management Improvements for around the Refrains Middle School. For the amount of
$261,603. Motion. Motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Valentine. All in favor.
Aye. Number five, so this is the approval to perform an economic study for the McGriff Channel dredging project. The total amount for it, we've looked at it over the past year. Ms. Carol West has come to the board at the end of last year. You know, our monies got held. Army Corps of Engineers has monies available for a project for the McGriff Channel. However, the economic study that's been done years back there in the town of Suwanee, it proved that we didn't meet some of the requirements for it. We got to checking around with the University of Florida, and that quote came in around $60,000 to do the economic study. We had another representative say $12,000 to $15,000. We got with FSU and a group started networking, and we've actually come up with one now in the amount of $9,700. And Suwanee Chamber has pledged to offset it by $3,500. They're pledging $3,500 from the town of Suwanee, the chamber, and which would leave a deficit of $6,200. If the board so chooses to move forward with that economic study, what that would allow us to do, if the numbers come back, then Army Corps could then say, yes, we approve this dredge project, and they would handle the project as a whole. My opinion for administration, is that's a very minimum amount to see a big project like this go forward. However, this by doing this, it doesn't ensure that we get the project. So it's, you know, us going out on a limb, you know, a leap of faith there to try to do it. So that's what I know.
It's up to y'all to
decide.
We've talked about this McGriff Channel for 30-plus years.
Yes.
And it's been needed dredging, and we actually voted down the economic study there in Old Town because we had a congressman that was trying to work with us and maybe get that excused. And I think, what was it, 12,000 then on that one, Dwayne?
Yes, sir.
So evidently that's not going to happen now. So now we're right back to this. But this economic study's held up. What was that grant, 5.7 million?
A little over 5 million.
So now the money was allocated to us. It was awarded to us. But then the economic study held it. So we voted not to do it from some of our politics stuff in Washington, trying to save our county some money. So that's not going to pan out. So I'm all in favor of this, and I'm going to make a motion to do this. And
we got a motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second,
Mr. Valentine, all in favor.
Aye. With that said, I'll get with finance, and we'll go through some of those numbers and try to find where we're going to get that money from. It's unanticipated.
With your expenditure, how much is it going to be?
$200. We'll pay the whole $9,700 for the study. Mm-hmm. We will invoice the town of Suwanee, the chamber, to get the $3,500, and then we'll pay the difference.
Which is still a heck of a savings.
Yes.
I know the UF study was
$62,000.
That's
right. What it was,
and that was recently, within the last 2 or 3 weeks. We've been meeting on this, myself, Michelle, Dwayne's staff, and a few other people from Suwanee. So we've been meeting regular on this. Still a heck of a savings for the county.
Okay. Number six, I need board approval for a donation of $100 per commissioner for the Daddy Daughter Dance this year. I have spoken to the two commissioners that are absent, and they would like to see that happen again this year.
Motion. Got a motion and a second. Motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Ms. Valentine. All in favor?
Aye. And this will come out of y'all's account, and we'll get with Angie and Ms. Helen and get a check to the Rotary Club.
Has he made out to the Rotary Club?
Yes, sir. So some information items, very important. Number one, Tuesday, April the 12th, 2022, next Tuesday at 5 p.m., we have a board workshop to be held at the Old Town School Board meeting room with the school board in regards to the two properties to go into that workshop with those. Number two, we've been contacted. We've met with Duke Energy. We've talked to Diane Schultz with the NFEDP for some economic development. Carol West worked very heavily in this, and we've been reached to and touched by a business owner. What they're into, and I know very little about it. I've actually talked to Scott some about cryptocurrency operations. They're wanting to lease a facility that's close to some high power source. The way I understand it, they want to set some containers, and inside the fully enclosed containers are a whole system of networking of computer systems, data collection drivers, way above my thinking, and they want to lease this property from the board. It's very early on. I'm getting more information from Duke Energy. They are vetting the company, like background checks, because they also have a lot in it as far as supplying energy and their payments as well. In my opinion, it would be a good use for some of the property that some other businesses that we couldn't develop. You know, some of our smaller areas, there's a canal system running through one that we could probably utilize that can't be utilized for any other development. And it would be income out of the airport. I just still have some concerns of payment because I've never seen this, you know, just kind of skeptical how we're going to receive it. We definitely don't want to operate with cryptocurrency. We operate with green American dollars. So I want to know that we're going to get that and not some kind of software system that says you will get paid in 20 years.
Well, that being said, Dwayne, I know the city has an ordinance about containers. County does not. So I don't know what parcel land y'all looking at, but if it's in the city,
there is an ordinance out there that the city has for no containers.
Okay, I'll check. We'll check on that.
Check that and make sure we're staying within the county, not within the city.
Okay. All right. So I'll get you guys an update on that as I hear more about it. But there is some talk there. It wouldn't bring any jobs. It'll be a benefit strictly to the airport property as an income per monthly payment. I mean, that would be, which would be an asset for maintenance or anything at the airport. The number three, I'm pleased to announce that we've submitted the ad now and the advocate to run for the next month for phase one of the airport canal system project. And then in this phase, it's a clean out from what we call Hudson 19, which is down in the Timber Company property, all the way north. It's approximately 10 miles of drainage ditch all the way to County Road 351 up towards the Barber Robson Cemetery. That's kind of where it ends. It goes across Marvin Martin Road. So throughout that whole area will be a clean out process of some culvert replacements. And these monies that will be utilized for this particular project will not be what Mr. Chuck Clemens talked about earlier on in the meeting. This is what y'all have approved and set aside last year with ARPA monies from the federal government. There's a lot of documentation that we have to go through financially on the finance side, and so we are moving forward with that. But I wanted the public to know, and you commissioners, you know, that we're still working on them projects, and it's just an ongoing thing, and I don't anticipate it to be completed quickly because y'all have seen, you know, over the past 16 to 18 days, we've gotten 14 inches of rain.
Yes, sir.
And so if we was let the contract today, if we was had it ready to sign, they could not commence work due to flooding. So it would have to be done in a dry time. However, we are advertising and moving forward with getting all of our documents ready for when it dries up. So glad to announce that. And that's all the information I have today, Mr. Chairman, unless you have something for me.
Thank you, sir.
County Attorney, anything for us?
Good morning. Well, first of all, I would tell you that, everyone here, my name is Pierce Kelly. I'm an attorney. I'm here on behalf of Michael, who is attending that funeral together with Jody Stephen. And Michael has nothing to report. However, I do want to say thank you to the commission because you all retained me to assist you with regard to a matter which is now concluded, I understand. I've talked to Leon and Stephen and Michael at length, and I understand that's the decision of the board. I did want to say, though, that if there were any questions any of you had of me with regard to that, I'd be happy to answer them. I don't know if this is the appropriate time for that, but I thank you for your confidence in me, and I hope you're satisfied with my efforts on your behalf, and from what I understand, conversation with Leon, some things need to be changed, and you're working on that. So that's as much as I would say. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Ms. Hickenbottom.
We just wanted to update you that Della and Kelly are scanning all the board resolutions, ordinances, and the meeting minutes to electronic files. That'll make it easy searching. Easier and faster for the public, and they're doing it in-house at no charge, and that they'll be maintaining all the records there personally. That's all I have.
That's it. Thank you. County Commissioner items. Back up.
Finance.
The budget recap. We're 50% of the year is done, and this is the numbers that we were looking at as of yesterday. See anything that you've got a question on?
Down at the bottom. Ms. Jackie, you got 29%, your very last number at the bottom right-hand corner.
Uh-huh.
That's where we're at within our budget.
The grand total of all the different.
So we're at 29%.
Yeah, general is at 38%.
Okay. And as of 50% of the year?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Right.
Remember, though, we've got $1.6 million in ARPA money that's fixing to get spent. You're not going to see any additional revenue because you already got that. So when that kicks in, it'll make that number
go up. I understand.
That's just a big chunk of it right now. And we won't spend all that $1.6 million even before September because this project that they're approving is going to take longer than 6 months to get it done. So it'll phase in and out. But we'll adjust the new budget to have that balance show up in the next FY23. Anything else that you see that, do you have a question on or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have a request. We're already starting to work on budgets. Ms. Brenda Royal and Dwayne and I have already been talking about our schedule. And one of the things that we want to do are asking for, and if you pass this on to the other two commissioners too, if you could please start compiling a wish list of special projects, equipment that you know of, special road projects, these little projects that will impact the budget, and so that we can plan for this stuff and put it all in the bucket and see how you get it prioritized so that you can make choices of what needs to be done next year or what needs to be put off to the next year or vice versa. We want to try not to have changes happen on October 6th again next year. So we don't do, we actually have it all in the budget so you have a plan and it's there ahead of time. And that goes with whatever extra things, not normal operations. It would help us all plan better and also be able to plan the funding of that and make sure we got it covered. And if there's any questions about that, talk to us and let's see what we can come up with. If we could have some kind of estimate of what it might be costing, we know you can't predict what a road project is going to be next year when we don't know what the gas prices and the, all that stuff is. But at least we can put it in some kind of an estimate situation so we can make good decisions on that. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am.
Makes good sense.
Can I add something to that?
Yes, sir.
With all that being said, your wish list, I always have a really nice wish list, but I think it is. But this past year, we've done a $1.44 raise to get into this federal guidelines. We've got another dollar a year this year.
We've
got to keep that in mind whenever you're making your wish list out. I'm not telling you not to do it, but if you don't get it, our employees have got to come first, and that's federally mandated. So their hands are tied also. So y'all just keep that in mind also.
For the next couple of years.
Yes.
No, absolutely. But if we got to look at the big picture because it all comes out of the same pot.
Yes,
and if the library doesn't have enough, that's a bad example, but you know what I mean. If they don't have enough money to cover it, the general has to cover it, or whatever department that would be. It's all competing for the same dollars, is what I'm saying. So we have to be able to look at all the projects, all the needs, and make sure that we have enough to cover or prioritize and adjust how we need to get a plan in place to get it done. And give everybody an equal opportunity to compete for that money too. Because if we spend it all over here, the other group might need something too, but it's already been given out over here, and they didn't have an equal opportunity to say, well, we need this. This is important to our area. also. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. And if you have any questions or anything you want to, you know, ask about later, feel free to come by our office and, or call us, and we'll be glad to let you know.
Can I just say, as a casual observer, I think you are doing a phenomenal job with the finances for this county.
Yes.
And long overdue, and a whole lot different than it's ever been in years past.
Yes.
And I just congratulate you.
Yes.
I do too.
Thank you very much.
Still a work in progress, y'all. Still a work in progress. We still have things that we, you know, that we're working on that we're trying to clean up, and we're not there yet, but we're trying. And I'm thrilled to have Ms. Brenda Royal working with us, and you know, it's gonna make it a good transition, and we've got some work to do, but we're getting there. But I appreciate that very much. We've tried really hard. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, yes. While she's still there, I'd like to address a couple things. Concerns I have administratively with the board. Last year, y'all had tasked us to sit down like we have in the past and us go through it and work. You know, we worked over 118 hours on it. I would request that this year, and I think a couple of the commissioners had asked for it, but now's the time to start talking about it. You know, you say, well, it's too soon. We're talking in April, but it's really not. I would like to see within the next 2 months on the administration side that y'all said either starting with a workshop, start going through department by department, and let's line itemize, look at it, and maybe just a couple times so y'all get an idea of what we're looking at. So that way when we come and tell you, just like Commissioner Hatt said, a dollar across the board, you initially just think it's a dollar for every active employee. But it's really about $1.50 per employee with everything added, which increases it quickly. So I want y'all to actually see that. I'm okay with handling operations like we have in the past, but we would like more hands-on with the board and let y'all know, you know, exactly what's going on. We can take just a few departments to start with. Jackie, input there on that. You know, maybe before a night board meeting at 5, go through two departments or, you know, something like that in May, June time frame. If that's not too soon, I think it's relevant to discuss that.
In my situation with my husband,
mornings.
I'd be willing to.
No, we would do more. I'm okay with
that. Okay.
I just,
it's
chairman.
It's hard on my daughter's
morning.
Yeah.
I've got you
tomorrow. The other side of that is we don't ever talk about the revenues on these different funds, and y'all need to know
where the money comes from
because that's part of the issue is we forget that, like, if you're at the state level, the money just magically appears and they say here's your appropriation, boom 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 boom. Here you got to worry about the money getting here. Every single penny it comes from somewhere. We have to have the money in the bank to pay the bills. It's not this magic place in the sky that, you know, oh yeah, the state's going to pay us. And but each of these funds has its own unique situation and where those funds come from and where the taxing authority is. And a lot of that you guys dictate.
That's correct.
And you need to be, or it could be a service fee or charges for services that affects the revenue side, and it's crucial to have the money there to be able to pay the bills and provide the services that we provide, and that's something that I think we're lacking in where everybody needs to understand where all that comes from and what
sure.
what ends up happening.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ms. Jackie.
And Bill, when we're doing these departments, we need to do the fund side also, the revenue side.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ms. Jackie.
Thank you.
Mr. James, you got any comments?
Yeah, we heard that man down a while ago. Do it. Mr. Lee, I have some question there.
Yes.
We can't do that just to do a dividing that land with them girls has got it. Don't you have to have so much?
On the subdivision that we were just talking about?
Yeah, a while ago, and I voted no against. I got to think about it. That's their property. They want to do something with it. But you can't, it's going out of our land regulations to do it. Is that true?
Well, this subdivision was approved in 2004, and it was signed off by the commission then, but they didn't do an ordinance to change the zoning district from commercial to residential. And that's what I was getting permission from was, it's now because there's 16 different landowners, the board is going to submit the application representation of those 16 landowners.
Right.
So I can fix what they didn't do in 2004, but it's fixable. It would just be more chaotic to try and do every single.
I'm saying you're thinking about people. I don't care. My property, I want to do what I want to with.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, so that's...
So are you wanting me to...
I want you to check it in because it goes through the land regulations. You can't do it right now. Just talk that time now. Am I right?
Well, I can issue them a building permit right now until we get it changed. And that's what I'm trying to help them with.
I mean, I don't know nobody think I'm against them, but they tell anybody to sit store. But I got to think about that. If it's mine, I won't do what I want to do.
Right. And they purchased the lots with the intention of them being residential lots.
I mean,
they're getting to do what they want, but you
the paperwork correct on our side.
Okay,
you found out that the paperwork was incorrect, so therefore legally you cannot give them a building permit on their little lot.
Liability on me or the board.
That's right.
And,
on the board.
Yeah, and it's fixable.
Okay.
I just need y'all's help to fix it.
But I'm making motion. Let's fix it.
We already done it. You understand now, don't you, Mr. James?
I know, but if it's mine, I've ordered what I want to do on.
Okay. And I do believe that the board, that was their intention.
Okay, I get straight.
That's what it was.
Okay.
You just didn't have...
The paperwork wasn't done right.
It wasn't completed. Half of it was done.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't think it was malicious at all. I don't think I can fix it for you. I got permission to move forward.
Thank you, Leo.
Mr. Hatch?
You done?
I'm good.
Okay. The workshop we have down... Dwayne, we talked about, I've called Dwayne the last 2 months or Tuesdays thinking it was last two Tuesdays, and that's a very important workshop.
I started to tell you yes on that last one. You're going to miss it if you're not.
So I encourage the commissioner to come to that workshop with the school.
Next Tuesday.
And I think we would want the chairman speak for the board, and I'm sure it's a casual meeting.
Just a workshop. It'll be discussion. Yeah. No decisions made. Y'all pleading y'all's case, talking to them about the two properties, the old town, the actual school meeting room, and the property in town of Swanee that your community building sits on.
And that's fire station. Also holding up our building and our business in Swanee. Also, we got that fellow wanting to do a rehab center down there, and we can't do it because we don't legally own it.
That's correct.
So it's a very important workshop this Tuesday at 5 o'clock at the school board meeting room in Old Town. So
all them board school board members going to be there?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're having a regular meeting at 6, correct, Paul?
That is correct.
So I just encourage y'all, and be sure WC and Jody knows about it also, if you don't mind. And just encourage y'all to come to that. Other than that, that's all I have.
I just want to say thank you for everybody coming. On that workshop, I done told Mr. Dwayne that it's going to be a tight day, but I'm going to do my best to be there. I've got doctor's appointments that I put off, and my wife, so we try to make them all so we can go together. But I should be back in time for that, so I should be there. With that said, now it's the public's turn. Anybody would like to speak? Any concerns?
No,
they didn't fill out the cards, but come on up there to the podium. State your name.
My name is Todd Lee. I live in Dixie County, Old Town, Florida. And we've got a really bad concern on public land. And I know you guys have been an issue for a long time trying to keep that road up. And I know it's even worse right now with the flooding and all that's going on. I was just wondering, is there anything in place or in plan, if anybody looked at that, to make repairs last longer and maybe save you money in the long run?
So,
we live down there. We live like 652 Northeast 832nd Street, which is at the end of that road to the left. So, well, if it wasn't for just the one hole that's on Purvis right now, halfway to the boat ramp, we'd still be able to reside there and get in and get out. So I just know every time the road's repaired, it seems like it's a temporary repair. There's always people, as soon as they see if it rains, not just because of the flood now, but as soon as it rains, they'll see a mud hole. They want to go four-wheel drive in it and play. I used to be young, too, but it's an issue. And I just think if maybe a civil engineer looked at it, we could figure out
what to do.
Exactly. I mean, I don't know how much money you guys spend every year or annually on the roads around here. But I know you spend a ton just on Perfect Landing, which is 272.
Just recently, too. Just fixed that one.
Yeah.
And that's every time the river comes up and down.
Well, and, it's, you know, right now it's up, and it seems like every year something changes. I mean, we've been here since 97. Not way before that, but we've actually owned our place there since 97. And there's been a bunch of repairs on that, and it's several times a year, not just once a year. But if the road was shot and it was at least level, I know 2 years ago you guys spent quite a bit of money putting brand new culverts on that road. And there's still a main issue. So we need to try to figure out how to keep people out of there playing when it gets wet. You did a lot of repair on the ditches on either side of the road. They see a little bit of water in there, they're tearing them up. You put barricades out there, road closed. Maybe we could figure out some different barricades because all they do is pick them barricades up, put them off their side, and drive them.
Hey, Chairman, previously we had spoken this conversation back in my was here about looking at on both sides of that, and dumping all the material later out of it. But I haven't heard any more back on that.
I remember that too, Leon.
Yeah.
Listen, could you get young Bailey there? Says that he's the only one that goes up to the meetings. I see why Lothar don't show up now. Could you and him look at that and see if there's something we can go back to? Because I remember what Leon's talking about too, and that would
I recall that. Yes, sir. And talking with Water Management, being that floodway and flood zone there coming off the river, they had issues and concerns with allowing any kind of permitting in that area. So, yes, we will address it.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Anyone else? No one else wants to stand up and speak. So everything is good. I need a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
We got a motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second.
Second, Mr. Thomas, on favor. Aye.